welcome to our November edition of the IsCast. I'm here with David, Ben, myself, and Sean for the second time after his first appearance back in July.
Yeah, at RTX.
We had our special RTX
edition.
Yep. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we're going to kick off with, what's the first topic?
Oh,
yeah, we got to, because of, again, David's connections through his work and some of the equipment that he gets to be able to play with, we finally got our hands on the, which one? It was the 2K?
Yeah, the 2.5K one.
Is there a specific name?
They call it the Blackmagic
edition.
So the middle one, the one we got, is the 2.5K camera, which is the Blackmagic Cinema camera.
That's what they call it.
The small one, the pocket camera, is the Blackmagic Cinema Pocket Camera, and the 4K version is the Blackmagic Production Camera.
Production, okay.
Yep, so they make it a terrible mouthful to try and explain what it is. I just call it the Blackmagic 2.5. Yep.
Okay.
So this one shoots at 2.5 resolution. That's what that refers to.
There is something to be said about naming conventions. Because, like, you know, when you have the Blackmagic, this, the whole big mouthful, and then you go to, like, a Mercedes, it's like a CLK 253, and you have no idea
those.
What it means.
SLT edition. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. But yeah, we've been wanting to get it for a while, but because it's a inexpensive camera to rent, it's been incredibly popular. So it's been gone most of the time when we were available to do some tests with it. So we did finally get it, and we sort of had a weekend of just, like, nonstop shooting with it, like every opportunity we could get. Yeah.
And you got some lenses too, right?
Yep, we got a Canon. We both compact primes, a Zeiss 35mm compact prime, and a Canon 14mm compact prime.
Cool. I think I love the size of it. I love the design. I'm sure it has its shortcomings.
Yeah, there are a few of those, but
some more expensive alternatives.
Yeah, but again, like, for, like, the run and gun filmmaker, like, for some, like, for shorts and whatnot, it is I think it's a great camera.
Yeah. We got some really awesome shots just coming in, like, going randomly out at night. Like, the first day that you got it was actually, like, a lot of fun. We just
We spent, like, 45 minutes driving around downtown just, like, shooting out of the city. And, like, there was it was a bit on the shaky side because I was just holding it and, like, pointing it out a window. But there were some shots where, like, the ungraded shots, which, because we were shooting in RAW, you do need to grade them. There were some shots that looked pretty darn pro from what we got out of that. It was really nice.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. If we could shoot with that.
Yep. So, yeah, hopefully in the future we'll get it for another buck of time, and hopefully we'll be able to shoot a little short with it of some kind.
So to compare that, so have we talked about our short that we're doing with Woolly Rhino before?
I don't think we have, because we've been in the early stages of production, so we were sort of under an unofficial media blackout at that point. But we're in production,
sure,
they're posting photos of it now, so we can talk about it safely.
They've been kind of hyping it up on their own Facebook page.
Cool.
And everything.
Yeah. We've been working with this small company here in Minnesota called Woolly Rhino, another film production company. Just a couple guys just like us, and we teamed up to help them do a short that they wrote themselves. We all helped with
it's
costumes.
The writer.
The writer. Looking for it coming out next year, probably.
Coming soon. Is the universal of events. It will be out when it's done.
So, I was kind of tying that into we shot with a Canon 5D, right?
Yeah, 5D Mark III.
How would you compare that against
time
with the Blackmagic?
There is a caveat with that because the 5D is a hacked 5D, and
why is it hacked?
Because we're shooting in RAW with it. It's not where...
RAW... I don't want to get too talky about this.
It lets you capture as much data as possible, and then you're able to do things like exposure,
white balance, a lot of cool stuff in post.
Yeah.
And that has existed in still cameras for quite a while now. And it only more recently has started to make its way into cinema cameras and video cameras. I think it... probably really started with the red one back in 2007.
I'm sure it existed before that.
Yeah, but like that's when it really came to prominence. So yeah, that's one thing with a normally the 5D, it can shoot in 1080 and that's it. But with a hack in it called Magic Lantern, you're able to sort of unlock, and I think it's almost like tricking the sensor into shooting raw in video form. But stacking the two up against each other, they're probably in a certain way pretty comparable. You do have a, you know, you do have, you know, a bit more pixels on the Blackmagic because you're shooting in 2.5K instead of 1920. So you're getting a bit wider on
the Blackmagic does raw, right?
Yes. In 2K. And it also has the really nice thing about the Blackmagic, it has a really wide dynamic range for it. It has a 13 stops dynamic range, which is, you know, how far you how many increments you have between white and black. Like blowout white and jet black is how many ranges. So it looks really good in that way. You know, the Blackmagic 2.5 is a $2,000 camera, and the 5D is like a $4,000 camera. So
yeah,
again, it really it depends a lot on what you're wanting to do for your productions.
I think I would go with the Blackmagic personally.
Yeah,
because there's been a lot of
just
kind
for
of
film
finicky.
Specifically.
Well, yeah, definitely because we've been having a lot of different complications when it comes to.
Well, we can't do the. Were they able to figure out the splitting the video feed from the the camera?
Well, that's a whole nother thing about how you deal with transmitting your video signal and what you use
with the teradek.
Did they get that figured out with the splitter?
Yeah,
like power
splitter? They got it to work in the end.
There's a little bit of jerry rigging that had to be done.
Yeah.
On set.
That's why here's the 2 cents worth of free advice to our listeners out there. If you're in the pro production world, if you can do it, do SDI, not HDMI. HDMI is too finicky of a connection, it's not for everyone because it is in a certain way a luxury. Because when you start dealing with SDI, you start, you know, the price for the gear that uses SDI goes up a lot. So it is a luxury kind of thing to be able to get into an SDI ecosystem. But if you can't do it,
but part of the problem though with that is that with the whole system, the processor that's in the 5D can't necessarily handle outputting 3 different HDMI outputs at the same time, all in real time.
But it was only doing one. The splitter's happening later.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
But the performance got better once we started disconnecting them. I mean, I don't know all of what was going on, but.
That's weird. I'm assuming usually, though, you want one output from the camera and then something else that handles the. If you do need to split it.
Yeah, like ideally, the ideal setup for if you want is you get the camera, you have an output to a monitor. And the monitor has a built-in pass-through, so it has like an SDI in and an SDI out, and then your out goes either to a second monitor if you need it, or to something like the Teradek, a wireless or wired video transmission system that gets you to a Video Village if you choose to have that set up. As soon as you start to deal with trying to get a Video Village set up, it gets very expensive, so it can be cost prohibitive to do.
Well,
which is always a
challenge. Yeah, I've been sad I haven't been able to go. Because other obligations, I haven't been able to get out on any of the shootings. Hopefully this weekend I'll be able to do that. I'd love to shoot. You should see if you have any weekends available coming up in the next, 4 weekends?
Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah, I know. Sean,
you could probably do some audio work for them.
Well, you would love it. Like, the guy has, like, he has the boom pole and he has a wireless, like, setup for all the things. And there wasn't, like, he has a wireless, a lav mic that one of the actors is wearing that is controllable via his iPhone.
Wow.
That he
super
he, so that's awesome. So you know, like with a costume, and you've probably done with wiring lavs, like it can be obnoxious to get to the mic and the battery packs and to control it. So he has a thing where he has the phone and he puts it up next to the microphone and it emits a sound and that tells the mic to turn on or off.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was a really, really wicked setup. Yeah. It was really fun.
And he was using this on set while you were shooting?
Yep, it was using it.
Do they own that or...?
Yeah, well, that's not Wooly Winos. That's like the sound technician we had there. His name was
Nick.
I think it was Nick. I'm sorry.
Is
well,
he just like a friend?
No, he's a friend, but he's like a professional audio, like on-set audio guy. Like he had really, really nice stuff.
That's what he does.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he
that's
had a
awesome.
Really
cool.
Awesome setup. So yeah, very hopefully cool. we should try and get at least Mike and Kellen and maybe some of the other guys. We should see if we can get them on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Maybe after shooting.
Yeah, maybe right after shooting we can have them on.
Just talk about how it went and
yeah,
stuff like
it'd
that.
Be cool.
Cool. So yeah, lots of exciting things going on. I'm happy to get people doing some things like this because we had a big lull as far as actually being involved with. I know we had the events stuff for our,
yeah.
our business side of things, but nothing fun.
Yep. Yeah, it's good to have some fun stuff to do.
And we were trying to do that. We are trying to do some. We call them Let's Plays because achievement.
Yeah, well, to be fair, that front
they
term
started
has been
that before that, right?
Well, the term for Let's Play has been in use, and so that's that's when you have a bunch of your friends and you usually play a video game and you're all recording
like
your audio
party.
Live, and the term Let's Play has been in use for a long time. I think probably prior to anything that Achievement Hunter and the guys at Rooster Teeth used it, though they have had that account, the Let's Play name, for like 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Thanks to the forward thinking of Jeff. He's like, they apparently were going through a spree. They've talked about it. They went through a spree of getting like IP stuff and channel names and whatnot. And that's what it's like, I think we should get this.
Yeah, I didn't think about
like
that.
6 years ago or
they
something.
Didn't start that till like early this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
maybe it wasn't quite 6 years ago, but it was like Jeff was really smart about pulling that. So yeah, so that's something that we're exploring, and we'll see what
happens. Having difficulties trying to do it all remotely, too, adds another layer as far as communication and recording audio, and just kind of there isn't that one person that's monitoring everything versus like Achievement Hunter. They're all in a small room with a big flat screen TV with all their audio levels showing, and all their rigs are. They got the cards. They usually are doing Xbox too.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do PC, but
yeah.
And then some of us are on Windows, and some of us are on Mac, and
we're using
different microphones. So that's been challenging. So hopefully we can.
We need to have Sean come through and like work audio magic for all of us.
Heck yeah, man!
It would be nice just to get everybody in the same room.
Yeah.
But then you gotta, drag my full tower around or.
That's Joe Mac.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
Just like the good old days of bringing your Xbox to someone's house or something.
Yeah. And do you play Minecraft at all? You play any?
I did play Minecraft for a while in Iraq, and then I just kind of faded away from it.
We need to get you addicted.
It's one of those games that you just kind of like, just casually like. I use it as like a therapy of just like that repetitive motion of
mining.
Digging or something. Like you just so if I'm like stressed out, I'll be like, oh, I'll play Minecraft and just kind of like.
Yeah.
Click on things for like an hour.
Yeah. Well, I found that like my playing of it goes in waves, where like I'll play it a lot for a bit, and then I won't play it for a while, and then like a big new update will come up with a bajillion new features, and then I start playing again for a while.
Yeah.
Like they just had a new update for it recently, 1.7.2 or something.
I was trying to do the some of the mods, the Galacticraft,
just
because of Achievement Hunter. Actually, they did a Let's Play in it, and it's a pretty cool mod where you get to make spaceships and like go to the moon and make a space station and even go to Mars. And,
wow.
I had some interesting, it's takes a lot if you're by yourself to do it. And, had some interesting problems. And when we were preparing for our Let's Play, I was doing test recording myself.
Mm-hmm.
And with the new Minecraft launcher, you have multiple profiles that you can set up to tell like which version of Minecraft you're playing. So like one profile I have going, okay, launch the mod. The other one, just do the
vanilla,
the regular version, and I accidentally loaded the regular one to test it, and I started playing, but I launched my Galacticraft world.
Oh no!
And because that all those extra stuff doesn't exist in the real one, it just deleted everything.
Oh,
and
no.
I was recording myself at the time too, so I have myself going. Like, oh, I'm playing Minecraft, da, 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 da. And then I open a chest, and I go, oh, shit. And I'm like, and then you hit escape, and you realize all, the PC, it's just save and quit. Like, there's no, like, cancel or, like,
oh,
you can't just quit.
Oh, I remember, like, I remember
it was
you
over.
Saying,
it was that.
It's like, I remember Lee just going off saying, like, why don't they implement a save system? Why don't they let you save?
It would help out, but it's kind of cool to have, like, they even have the hardcore mode where you only get one life, and I just couldn't do that. Like, you spend, like, 6 hours in the world and then you die.
We had
it's over.
It's over. Yeah. That's no doesn't exist anymore.
Me and Ben and our roommates, we had what we did many years ago now, but we did again, which was a race to the end, which was we picked a start day and we all said go and we created a brand new world and we had a race to get to the end. That world in Minecraft, and we decided on this more recent time around to do it on hardcore mode. So once you die, you have to start over from scratch with it all. And I think Ben, you died a couple of times.
Yeah,
our roommate, he died like 4 times. I have not yet died in it. Granted, I haven't. I still have it running. So
super cautious.
Oh yeah.
It just reminded me of the, because I actually bought Minecraft before it got popular because of a guy I was working with.
Yeah, I mean,
he was playing with it, and one of the first like YouTube videos I saw was this guy that was like showing you how to do a fireplace in your house.
And
he set it on fire. It got pretty popular, but it reminded me of that because he was just like recording himself, and all of a sudden he realized like
his whole house is up in flames.
And then like he was trying to put it out and he couldn't. And then he just like went outside and like it was all engulfed.
See, the first
he was
one,
this isn't funny.
See, when I first it was before that video came out. I was in like one of the like the very earliest when it went out of the alpha mode into betas when I bought it. So early on in that stage, and one of the first videos I saw of it online was someone who had made a 16-bit computer. In it that,
yeah.
That can do math.
That was that,
and
that
like you know, it's this huge expanse that must be you know, a couple square miles at least of all this redstone running all over the place and being you know in and out or not in and out, not or
yeah.
blocks.
Because
like,
basically,
all that,
if you know
basic computing,
like computer science, like in programming, like there are gates, like. And
everything's
gates,
ones
XO,
and zeros,
XO,
yeah.
gates,
and it's gotten even crazier since then because at that point, like it would just light up, or it would like light up a torch above the number, like you could do simple multiplication.
Yeah.
And now with pistons and stuff, people have made quote unquote displays where with pistons they'll have like what you put in two numbers and multiply it together, and then a big screen in front of you pushes the blocks out to make a 9 or whatever, like whatever the answer
That's
is.
Awesome.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And you guys are talking about playing it on the Mac or PC, or are you talking about playing it on a system? Because
Mac and PC.
Okay.
So I just, on my computer, my extra computer, I set up a server that's running.
Okay.
And then we can all connect into it.
Yeah, you should
sure.
get on that too at some point.
Yeah, because I played it on my Mac, and I don't know, I just trying to do the mods and stuff. I purchased
the new, we were kind of waiting for the new map too, the 1.7, and that finally came out, which is awesome. And
yeah,
it's fun to do the... I started the amplified biomes one.
Those are pretty ridiculous.
It's just like it's hard to get around though, because it's like
oh, yeah.
all the hills and stuff are like
better to go
super
through
tall.
Yeah, no. One thing that I have found like the best system I have found for mods is the Technic launcher, and it's like probably at least 8 different mod packs are built into this launcher. But the great thing about it is it doesn't interfere with your saves, your actual regular Minecraft platform at all. It's a separate launcher that it just registers that, yes, you have bought a copy of Minecraft. And then it's a separate launcher, and you can choose Galactocraft as one of the mods in there, and Tekkit, and the Modbox, and Yogbox, and you know, there's a bunch of other mods in there that you can play.
Cool.
It makes it really easy. And a lot of the more popular mods get supported by this launcher.
Yeah, so cool. Hopefully we can actually record something successfully.
Yeah, hopefully. We need to finish up some tests, I think, do one more technical revamp test, and... We'll see if maybe after the first of the year we can't get a first episode. Maybe a little sooner. We'll see how it turns out.
Well, we also need to get better at monitoring ourselves, like having something on a second screen that shows you, like, hey, you stopped recording. To be able to... Because as long as a couple other people are still recording, like, if you... And then restart it, like, that's better than just going
like,
to the end and then realize...
Yeah, because I don't know what other, the other guys said. Like, I have a single monitor set up right now because I have a 27-inch iMac, and my old 21-inch external display is just too darn wimpy next to a 27-inch monitor. So I have a lot of my recording stuff is on a second desktop, so I have no way of seeing it unless I swap over to it.
We are recording, though, only in a 1280 by 720, so if you could, like, position it. On one screen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was interested. I was thinking about possibly playing on my little 11-inch Mac or MacBook Air I wasn't sure if there's enough pixels. There should be enough pixel space. I hope there is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
720, yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do that.
But yeah, so yeah, we'll hopefully see. We'll see. You know, maybe we'll probably sometime in January for sure. We'll see if we can do it sooner. But you can keep an eye out on our Facebook and then and our YouTube channel. That's where we'll be when that episode one comes out.
To move on. I did just give a quick update on our 3D printer that I'm making. I'm hoping to. Me and Sean at least are gonna head over to the Hack Factory, and I got to just finish up a couple pieces and. I want to be able to try to turn it on tonight and see what happens.
You got to videotape that. Pull out your phone. Someone please do.
Hopefully it doesn't break. Yeah. Or catch on fire.
Yeah. Well, and there also there was a one of the original ideas behind the 3D printer was using it for Dawn Under Heaven, and so there was a Vi blog that was just released for that. So if you go to Dawn Under Heaven on Facebook, you can see
blog Wade put together.
Yep. So you can see some photos of
it. Made it seem really professional.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe, yeah, but, yeah, take some video of you first turning it on, so we'll be able to post something about that. Yeah, because it is, yeah, I think we should have a longer talk with you about that.
It's important to put out there. I hope to put on a video as far as, like, a build journal or something like that.
Yeah. If only we had done time-lapse stuff of some kind.
Yeah, I should have been taking more pictures, but it's been busy.
Well, when we get to version 2.0, we'll do a proper build journal about it or something.
Yeah, no, I just really want to start printing some stuff and it's gonna be awesome to print stuff for the printer itself.
Yeah. So I know you were doing most of the framework. What all were you doing, Sean, for this? I haven't been kept fully up to date on all that work.
Lee asked me about it when I was in Texas, and pretty much I was gonna be the electronics guy. And when we started. Looking at the components and stuff, we thought about making a shield that actually drives the servo motor or the stepper motors. But that just, it was going to be complicated to come up with it on our own. So
yeah, the PCB board to print it professionally. I know you helped with that.
Yeah, it was going to be expensive. It was gonna be
the cost was, you can, and they're even thinking about like, using 3D printers to build those.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, metal is awesome.
Or you can CNC it and then melt some copper or whatever. Yeah. But it's just, you can do that with like a microwave or something.
Yeah.
But, and I've seen that, and people do that for like the rip wraps, but I wanted this to be a little nicer and a little more durable.
It was such a good idea to do it that way. And to answer your question, David, I made the cabling between the stepper motors and to the actual shield. That was the way that we could save money.
What's the shield? I'm sorry.
The shield, it mounts into the Arduino Mega.
Oh, okay.
And the Arduino Mega is the brain, and it. Yeah. The shield
it's
actually
like the
controls.
Motherboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
As like a computer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Because it doesn't have the muscle, it needs that shield to actually turn the stepper motors.
Yeah. So all the fans, the motors, the thermostat. The heater, I'll plug into that.
I see.
And we had to, because I bought everything by myself and through other vendors and stuff, like the cables weren't the right length, or we bought some cable headers.
Yep.
Is that the right term?
Yep.
So it could actually plug into the to the shield,
which was a fluke, by the way. We didn't know if they were going to line up right. But they just happened to
so
fit
far
perfectly.
Turned out awesome.
Definitely. And I know one thing that, when this project is done, Sean was going to help me out with, was we're hoping, you know, with using the 3D printer to print certain parts, which is to make our own version of the the FreeFly Movi 3-axis stabilization system for cameras.
Yep. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, we're going to try to make that for less than the $15,000 they're asking for that.
Yeah.
Much less.
And
we can do it, too.
Interested in... seeing if you'd help with like wireless stuff,
okay?
Like wireless video stuff.
That's gonna be a big challenge.
As far as like
Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, as far as things that are like just stupidly expensive for no reason, like some of those type of things that are like wireless systems and the follow focus thing.
Yeah,
just like if we could just make like thousands, we're. Like
follow focus. Like if you want an airy, lightweight follow focus, like, and even like an old one, like one that was used in the golden age of film, you have to drop about $6,000 for this little. And it's something you use to turn the focus on a lens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know like the video transmitters. That's gonna be a really great one. That one's gonna be really challenging, depending on what if we want to do SDI or HDMI or in a brilliant ideal world both. But again, we have to. But yeah, that will be interesting because that's something that we've been looking at as we try to improve our sort of our workflow on set, and the idea of not having to have the director like crouched over the shoulder of the cameraman looking like all the time, having to look on the tiny display, but being able to be separated back.
That's only if it's a static shot. If you're
walking
around, they can't. They just have to trust the camera guy. And like, but the problem is the camera guy is not really. He's just kind of like framing it up because he's like trying to move at the same time or hold it.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, that would be a really exciting one to
or evade traffic.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that's kind of everything that we got going on, right?
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
Actually. Yeah. Actually, it is a lot. We haven't thought about it. We've been pretty busy lately. It's gonna get nothing but busier from here.
Yeah. Exciting.
Very exciting.
So I think we can go into some world events. Obviously, we had some new stuff from Apple.
Yes, we have a lot of new stuff from Apple, but probably the most important thing is what we will touch on.
Yeah, David's super excited about the Mac Pro.
Oh my gosh, that is a thing of beauty, and I know there have been plenty of jokes made about leaving it on a kitchen counter and seeing who was the first person to dump coffee in the top of it. But like, it is a thing of beauty.
Isn't its nickname the trash can?
Yeah, the trash can coffee grinder. But you know, I think it looks stunning, and like it's gonna be powerful. Like this is not a machine that
you
will.
It's pretty impressive, and that compares to the current Mac Pro that
hasn't been updated in like four years.
Yeah, it hasn't been updated.
Like it had a minor processor boot, but it's still running. It doesn't have Thunderbolt. It doesn't have USB 3.0.
But still, it's old reliable, man.
Yeah, that's true. As far as like calculation capacity, it's still a great computer. Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have been complaining about a lot of people have been complaining about the inability to do internal expansion in the new Mac Pro, which is constrained to say the least.
Yeah,
but I was reading a report.
You can't
on
even do it's just like RAM. Hard drives.
It's just RAM.
Yeah,
because even the hard drive in there is
it's a special one.
It's a
PCI
solid state.
It's some fancy connector.
It's RAM. It's not. It's even different than
really?
Solid state.
Yeah. It's but
same as their iPhones and there's I won't talk.
But the one thing interesting thing I did hear about that is as Ben said, you could probably replace the RAM on your own. It is going to be expensive. It's DDR3 like EEC or something.
18,
it's like a really
it's
expensive.
It's actually really fast. DDR3.
It's powerful stuff.
I thought it was DDR5.
Isn't that what
DDR5 is generally used
for
graphics.
But an interesting thing I did hear about it is I think it was on Wired or Engadget. I don't remember where. Is there's a possibility that you will be able to replace the GPUs yourself because apparently it will be a proprietary connection from the GPU into. I don't know what they'll be connecting it to the main board or whatever, but they were saying that it seems like it wouldn't be a far stretch for someone to just make their own version of it, and then you can release your own GPUs. And you know, if Apple it does the right thing, they won't sue about it or anything, and they'll just let people be able to the GPUs in there are going to be powerful.
Yeah, that would be nice too.
Yeah, well, we know Apple's all in the field of supporting its. Hardware developers.
I mean, with us like working at the Hack Factory a little bit, like my mind is blowing of like all the cool things I could do. And like part of me is fantasizing of making my own Mac Pro, my own little box computer.
Mm-hmm. It's a cylinder, dude.
So before the Mac Pro, there was like the G4 Cube computer.
Yeah, which I took after the Next in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
it's. Like for normal people, not normal, but like
average Joe,
average film, music, artists, graphic design, like it'll handle
Well, I know the
for
G-Bot.
Now,
They've been also making a big deal about its ability to deal with like 3-4K displays via Thunderbolt, mm-hmm. which is also weird because there is no 4K Thunderbolt display.
Yeah.
Out there.
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
Why would they have displays if there's no computers?
Yeah. That was one of the weird surprises that a lot of people were expecting because the Apple Thunderbolt display hasn't been updated mm-hmm. in quite a while. And a lot of people were expecting to.
I think it's weird though that there's nothing besides Apple. Like, why can't I buy a Samsung Thunderbolt display?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but both Apple and Intel need to loosen the hold on the keys for that stuff.
Yeah. Need weren't to you telling me it was an Intel thing too?
Yeah, it is an Intel.
Well,
technology.
It started as Intel. It started as Lightpeak, was what it originally was, and then Apple got involved.
Thunderbolt sounds so much better.
I liked Lightpeak. I thought it was cool. Anyway, then Apple got involved in this, so they're sort of paired off on it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's sort of a shared control on it. And it's my guess that it's Apple that's
holding it. Yeah, as far
it
as what I read, like Intel owns like the technology.
But but I'm sure Apple has a large say because they probably put up a lot of
money. Yeah, I'm sure they work together, and then they've worked together a lot on graphics and processors for their computers.
Hopefully we'll see some. Hopefully we'll see more stuff because I know what just came out is they just released a like PCIe enclosures via Thunderbolt.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an external thing you can plug in whatever
external graphics
we want,
card.
And then or whatever PCIe you
cool.
want.
That's awesome.
External graphics card.
Yeah. So
upgradable.
Like your MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
It has Thunderbolt. If you want something that has more processing power, you have just like a hard drive. It's just a graphics card. You plug it in, and you can play.
Whatever.
Really powerful games.
Yeah, because Thunderbolt is so damn fast.
Fuck.
Wait, are we... I was going to say, are we listed as explicit on iTunes because we just swore? But
That was appropriate.
I think it's PC...
Well, I think it's an awesome idea. So what you have is at your workstation, at your desktop, if you're, let's say you're a filmmaker and you want to do serious work, you sit down, you plug in your Thunderbolt, and you have dual graphics card external thing mm-hmm. and you plug it in into your laptop that's also hooked up daisy chains to
it's
displays
actually,
you mm-hmm. just close the lid on your laptop but then once you're ready to go have a meeting you just unplug everything and
it's
then you have
really,
a word processing machine.
It's really interesting idea concept that I want to see explored because I know that Ubuntu was kind of working with that in the sense that did you hear about the Ubuntu Edge? Do you know about that?
Oh, is that the phone?
Yeah,
it's the phone. But like their whole operating system, their whole mobile operating system is just like a basically almost not even stripped down. It is just Linux. There are Ubuntu in it, and it just has maybe like
that's
a mobile shell.
Ubuntu is.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, but it's you so OS at, or iOS is just a stripped down version of OS X. Windows mobile or whatever is just a stripped down version of Windows 8. More or less. But Ubuntu, the whole mobile thing, is actually the full version of Ubuntu. So, like, you put it into a dock, and then it just becomes this whole, it'll blow up on a whole monitor, and you can, it's actually really cool.
Yeah, but the external spend, like, that's the big thing that Apple's making a big deal out of for it, is using that to daisy chain off of other things, like using these external cards. Like that's what they're talking about with Thunderbolt 2.0. You can have six things daisy chained onto one Thunderbolt.
I think it's a great idea, but if
you need more stuff for it.
If there's nothing out there and it's super expensive, then
people
are going to do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to use HDMI.
Yep, buy a whole different computer.
Even HDMI is expensive.
Yeah.
It's getting down now, but they're coming out with another version of that as well.
This is kind of a similar topic. I spoke to David about it earlier this month, about a device dealing with the Thunderbolt port and HDMI. There was an issue I came across was inputting a GoPro HD Hero 2 into my MacBook Pro. I saw somebody do it at a recent concert, and I was curious how he did it. And he said Blackmagic had a box.
Yeah, the same makers of the camera we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
It's Blackmagic design. They originally did a lot of boxes.
Intensity.
And control boards and converter boxes was that they started before they did cameras. Sorry, go on.
It's a shame that they don't have more companies that can compete in that market because the prices of those things are really expensive to go from HDMI to Thunderbolt, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating to me.
Yeah. it's true. They do have quite expensive stuff. But it is like it is pretty nice. Like we have a bunch of we don't have that particular converter box at Cinewhip, but we have a bunch of their HDMI to SDI converters because that is something that people need to do. Because, as I said, like a lot of the pro end gear of stuff deals in SDI. Cool. But
yeah, hopefully, yeah. I'd love to see more support.
Yep.
For Thunderbolt, because even the computer I just built, which is just a Intel motherboard, I believe, or no, it's Gigabyte, but the it's an Intel chipset. I have Thunderbolt on that, so yeah. I don't think I can do displays, but I think I can do like hard drives, and things like that. So. Mm-hmm. I'd love, because even the hard drives that I put in internally, like, that's probably the best, you know, using, like, eSATA and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to get, hard drives in general, I'd love to get more SSD, and, like, because some of those hard drives, I think it's just a really crappy hard drive that I bought, like, from a consumer brand, you know, Western Digital or something. It, like, every time I need to access it, it's, I can hear it, like, it's like...
Now, hopefully... I'm still waiting on holographic drives. Like, 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I saw an article about these guys that were developing a holographic drive, so a drive that stores information in three-dimensional space rather than the two-dimensional of SSDs or traditional platter hard drives. And they're, like, making a big deal about, like, you know, you have a box, you have a cube, but you could have a cube that's, like, 6 inches by 6 inches by 6 inches, and it has like 10 terabytes worth of storage on it. It was obscene. They're making a big deal because they finally figured out the way of erasing information off of it, which was the difficulty, which is they had to use some fancy wavelength of blue light, was able to do it. And they're like, oh, this is going to be so awesome. Yeah. We're going to have amazing storage in 4 years. And 6 years later, I don't see anything that says holographic in it that's not related to Star Trek.
Or even just, even to that fact, what light peak started as before Thunderbolt was based on fiber optics.
Fibers.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Internally, like in your system using light to transmit information, that would greatly increase just, you know, buffers and things like that. And the reason it's called Thunderbolt now, I believe, too, is because they're just using copper right now.
Mm-hmm.
With that, you still get the, 20 gigs per second.
Yeah.
But it could be even... I don't know, 10 times faster.
Yeah, I know one thing I just saw also was sort of like using light is these guys have developed a way of doing light-based internet where they have like these certain, like it's a red, yellow, and green LEDs that it has to be line of sight. So you have to have your sort of your transmitter and your route and your receiver of this internet in line of sight with each other and uninterrupted. But you can get like 20 gigabit download through this thing. And the idea of, you know, could you possibly, like, because it's line of sight only, you could have very secure networks, like, just within, like, within a room that you have this internet that's associated with this special connection that can use these amazing speeds. And the idea of hooking that up in a business of some kind, where if you have your network storage and you're able to transmit that information at 20 gigabits a second or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I think we can... We could probably talk about this type of stuff all day. We did see a movie this month, Ender's Game. I think David and Ben read the book, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, so we are all
I read it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably
read it anytime
back
recently.
In like middle
me
school.
Too.
I
did freshen up on it though before I saw it.
So
just a Wikipedia.
Gotta love it. Wikipedia everything.
I think we can probably just stay to kind of like our impressions of it. We don't need to. They actually did a Rooster Teeth did a spoiler cast that I watched.
Oh, for the book.
For Ender's Game.
Yeah, for the book.
No, for the movie.
Was it the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it was just for going to be for
it
the
book.
It was
like the next day after. Oh, or okay. The day of.
Rooster Teeth did a spoiler cast.
It was Ryan. Gus was there, but he hadn't seen the movie yet. And some other guy I didn't know. And Miles, I believe? Maybe?
Yeah.
So they actually talked about a lot of stuff that I didn't think about, which is awesome. So I'd suggest suggest watching that if you want a good like comparison of the book and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought up things that I forgot about because I read it back in middle school.
Right,
so
right.
It kind of changed my viewpoint of the way I felt about the movie as for me, it was just pure just entertainment as far as visually, you know, action thing. It's just the story. It could have been a lot better. It wasn't. It just. I've seen a lot worse. So to me, it was just. It was entertaining, and that's kind of how I viewed it. And that's kind of what I went into it to, based on the. Like when I saw the trailers, I was like, "Well, this is gonna be a." It seems better than. Airbender, but it's not going to be exactly what I want from when I read the book.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it was, at least it wasn't that bad.
Well, I thought I got a little preachy, to be honest. Towards the end, they started talking, I'm not sure if they actually use drones in the book, but they started talking about using the word drones and then talking about, like, this. We shouldn't wage war this way and that I've committed genocide and, like,
or no, something like that. I think you're reaching.
I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe
about that at all.
No, I understand that the story is not about that at all, but there's the last couple of lines.
It was about how he defeated them.
Yeah, he defeated them by
the action that he did, not necessarily
how that he killed them without talking to them before, kind of thing.
No, it was that he just totally just annihilated them.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you defeat them, and then you're like, well, I'm gonna still kill you, even though like you surrendered or anything. Like, I'm just gonna keep going so that you can't come back at all. Like that's what he had a problem with. Cause that goes beyond just like, an honorable fight, like of disagreement that you're just taking them out just to do it.
I know. Well, for me, in full disclosure, one thing I am starting officially with this film is I'm trying to take my desires for what to see in a film of a book and my desire to see that on screen exactly the way I want it.
Cause
I'm trying to take that bias
away.
You
can't have monologues.
Yeah, exactly.
In a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is what makes books
great.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Because you can have that thought process and that detail of the character, that the emotions that they're going through. Like,
you can tell everything.
Like, they were saying the shower scene when the guy comes to fight him, how in the book there's so much more thought about, like he puts soap on himself, and in the book, you know, he's talking about how it's, you know, he's doing it so he can become slippery, and he turns up the temperature on the water because it, so he kind of like, you kind of see how Ender's mind works, and in the movie you get like half a second of him rubbing soap on himself, and it's like, if you're not, you don't, you know, some people will pick that up. I picked it up.
Yeah.
I didn't pick
most
up
of the time.
I picked up the water.
Yeah, the water. Because he actually uses it too. But in the fight, you could see him, you know,
he slips
away from him, from his grabs. But it's, which is one reason I do like movies. And I felt like he didn't do enough of, like, it was too direct. Like, they just, everything was set up. It was like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have these emotions. Like, this is the way we're going to do it. I'm going to win. Not, you know, as far as like character development and stuff like that, it was pretty poor.
So I'm trying to separate those two things, and just, I'm trying to look at the movie as just as a movie, not as a one-to-one adaptation of the book. And I didn't like it. I thought that my two favorite characters were Viola Davis and Harrison Ford, that these two military people, and those were my favorite characters. I thought they did the best job. I thought then the rest of it, I thought character development was, you knew character development happened because they told you in dialogue or in action, but you never saw it happen, and then understood the development. If you're asking me, would I follow that Ender into war? No, I think he's an idiot, and I have no reason to believe in his abilities at all over the course of that film. I have no reason to trust it.
I was really disappointed by how they portrayed Bean.
I thought he was all right, as far as what I remember.
Isn't he supposed to, like, get bigger, like, physically?
No,
he's supposed to get taller and bigger?
No.
I thought he was.
Not till the next book. Because like, that was you read The Shadow.
I read Shadow first.
That's when he gets big. When he goes back to Earth. But no, I remember he was supposed to be this scrappy little kid. That
yeah. Overall, as both as an adaptation of the book and as a and as its own movie, I didn't really care for it.
No, I'm trying to think of other movies. Like, I think a lot of movies fail when the director is also the writer, in my opinion.
Yes.
And
that's a very good point.
Especially with adaptations, because people see things differently when they read something. And I think you need these multiple points to kind of round out a script.
Yeah.
To be able to give it to a wider audience, because Gavin Hood, the director, you know, he could have just had the way he read the book, you know, could have driven the way he viewed it and wrote the movie. And even an interview that he did, like, he was just like, oh, the most important stuff that he wanted to highlight was the battle scenes and the simulations.
Which bothered me for most people
that read the book that enjoyed it. Like, it wasn't really about that. It was about the character development and like all the, because they cut the whole subplot of the blogging that he does with his sister, and it's like very, very political. So it's you can't really put that in a movie.
Yeah.
But it kind of has this like subplot, and it kind of rounds out the story and how it ends and what he does at the end. And so it kind of makes reasons. But because I'm trying to think of like the Last Airbender. what's his face?
Aang.
No, the
M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan, which I do like some of his stuff, but you know, he directed and wrote that one, and I think there's a couple other ones, and sometimes you can be successful. I think, like, well, even Nolan, like Christopher Nolan, like it's mostly like his brother.
Yeah. Him. Right.
So I think
and on Lord of the Rings,
usually it's like too much credit. Like George Lucas, that was my other example.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And his movies, like he wrote and directed it. So it's like when you have that complete, he didn't have complete creative control in the first ones.
Well, he had in the first one, but not in Empire Strikes Back and
and
the Return of the Jedi.
So it kind of like you kind of get more checks and balances. And I'm thinking of like Peter Jackson. He did it with like.
Him and Fran Walsh and
The two. But it
him
was like
and his wife and
two, three, one. Four people.
It's three usually. Him, Fran Walsh, and the other executive producer, which I can never remember his name, and I feel bad.
Yeah, so I think that combination, they kind of like
it multiple helps. Perspectives.
It helps. And yeah, it helps like what brings out what really is important. And I think he missed the mark as far as what to portray and why.
I agree, but it did look very cool.
It did. No, visually, it was awesome. Yeah, and that was the first time I was looking at my friend Gunnar. Digital Domain actually had their logo in the beginning.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
That was the
too.
First time in their a visual effects company, which they like touch every blockbuster movie that comes out. They're pretty much involved with it in some shape or form. So I was wondering kind of what...
prompted
them. Well, maybe that.
Yeah, that no. One interesting thing in some of the reviews I was reading afterwards on Wired and Gadget, they were saying that if Gravity hadn't come out when it did, we would all be talking about how great the zero G was in this film, because it was pretty phenomenal.
It was pretty good, yeah.
And they were doing pretty much the same thing where they had wire. They were the actors were on wires, and then later they would pretty much their bodies almost the entire time were CG.
Yeah.
Every time they're in the battle room, there was all CG except for their faces.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like. Me being visual effects knowledge, like, I could tell, but it wasn't distracting at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
So.
Yeah. But a good
John
a good
hasn't
watch.
Seen it yet.
I haven't seen it. That's
you
why
still
I'm listening.
After this?
I think I want to read the book. And
I don't know. Like, I would probably watch the movie first. And
yeah.
And then you get the better experience after
okay.
that.
Okay. Because then when you read the book, it explains some of the areas, like you said, the details about how
Ender... Because then you'll be like, oh, this makes sense, or this is so much better now. Or maybe you won't. You'll be like, oh, lose. So, yeah, I
who says that? Nobody says that. What are you talking about? No one says, oh, my gosh, the movie was better than the book.
I hate that phrase, though, because I think you should never be able to say that. Like, they're not the same. Like, you can't be like, this game was better than the movie.
I agree. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm only just starting to finally accept this fact and actually make my move. Because previously it was like, oh my gosh, Aragorn was such a terrible movie, and the book was so good.
Words,
yeah,
David.
I know, but Ben and I don't talk about that movie because we were so monstrously disappointed in it. But yeah, no, that's one thing. And I think a lot of audience viewers need to understand that better and acknowledge to themselves that they you can't go into a 2.5 hour long movie or 2 hour long movie and expect to see your favorite scene from a book represented in there. You may be able to expect that if you're watching like a long, like a miniseries.
But it can be a bad movie. So a better saying would be like, my experience that I got from the book was much greater than my experience that I got from the movie.
Yeah. A t-shirt that I have says, don't judge a book by its movie, which I think is a good point. It does go both ways. You can't judge the book by its movie, and you also can't judge a movie by its book.
Yeah.
Because you do have to look at them separately.
I just have been discovering that it's just better to go into a movie or to read a book or any story without expectations at all. I found that I've enjoyed movies or books just so much better.
You need to start taking that to Apple events there, Ben. You have to go into Apple press
releases. It hasn't gone to events yet.
You got to do it, Ben. Got to be prepared to be surprised. Well.
Or don't be surprised, but just don't complain about it.
Oh,
I should just, like,
snap.
Not talk during those things happen.
Just be like, yep, all right.
Yep, okay.
That's what I thought.
Let's see what's happening next.
Let's move on.
I am excited to see it, though, so. Your guys' review made it interesting to me even more than just the trailer. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see it.
What other movie is the next big one? The Hobbit?
Thor comes out.
Thor? Oh yeah, we're still in.
We're talking about big movies, remember?
It is actually a big movie.
No, and that's fair. Like I enjoyed Thor more than I enjoyed Captain America. I thought that movie was terrible.
That was another one. Like both those for me, it's the same type of just they're entertaining, not necessarily like. Depth and story.
I'm sorry, I was a fan of Captain America and Thor.
I felt like in Captain America, at any moment, you could have someone walk up and shoot any character in the head, including Captain America.
Yeah.
And I would not have cared. Like, okay, whatever, move on.
Yeah,
I had no connection to any of the characters. I did not care.
I think it's the army buff for me. So,
yeah. Oh, okay, there we go.
When his best friend died. Like,
oh, I did not care in the slightest.
That was like,
who cares? Fine.
It was just like,
don't cry too long over him. Move on.
Like it felt like because he, it seemed like most of the time he was like he didn't care for Captain America as well. Like he was like I was annoying to him or.
I was a lot more emotionally invested in this movie than everybody else apparently.
That's the thing. Like everybody views things.
Oh, a big movie that is coming out in November is Catching Fire. The new Hunger Games movie, that one's coming out. That's probably the big release for November.
I didn't really like Lawrence. The first one. She's pretty sexy.
She is very much
She's on fire.
Hopefully this one's a little darker and because to me the story and what it's about should be so much more dramatic and just like heart-wrenching than what actually was portrayed to me in the first film.
Yeah, it really is. The difficulty with it is like the fact that they have to cater to that young adult audience.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Whereas
that's
if you compare it to, like the other Younger movie that adult. It always gets talked about with it is Battle Royale, which is a Japanese film under very similar pretenses of a bunch of teenagers, and in this case, I think a high school class of kids, and they all have to kill each other. And in Battle Royale, it is very, very violent and very emotionally. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of emotional impact because it's also dealing with the relationships between these kids that have probably spent the last, 16 years of their life going to school together. So it's a very different dynamic.
I kind of think about like Harry Potter, how like the later movies like slowly got a little serious and darker and because it was dealing with death, more death stuff. Yeah. And,
the book series got that way too.
Yeah. When you watch that first Harry Potter movie, Jesus Christ, the child actors. That's another thing. Child actors are very difficult.
Oh yeah,
they're hit or miss.
As the saying goes.
So that's why I thought, because that was why Airbender was terrible too. Because those actors were just the way they delivered their lines was terrible.
And as the
and
saying,
Ender's Game, I thought was pretty okay.
As the saying goes, if there's two things you never work with, it's children and animals. And there's a reason for it, and it is a challenge.
That's why I was thought. I thought it was interesting that you said you liked Harrison Ford and the other actor.
Oh, Viola Davis.
As far as his character, because they're the only like adult.
Yeah. No, it's true. Actors. Yeah, and also real quick, looking ahead, yeah, so the sort of the major movie releases we have for the rest of the year is Hunger Games, The Hobbit, and probably just because it's popular, Anchorman 2. Oh, the other fun one, though, that is coming out in December, which I want to see, is Saving Mr. Banks, which is the one about Walt Disney trying to convince, the woman who wrote Mary Poppins. To let him make it's based on the true story of him trying to convince her to allow him to make Mary Poppins into a Disney film. So, and that's starring Tom Hanks and I don't remember who the woman is, but it's going to be good. It looks good.
Rush was a good movie that came out. Apparently that was really good. But then also isn't the Secret Life of Walter Mitty, isn't that coming out before the end of the year?
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I think it is, but I do not.
Because I am extremely excited about that movie.
I do not see it on here.
I'm excited for The Hobbit.
Yeah. No. We're.
I've been ruined by that. I heard Cumberbatch's voice. Oh, jeez.
I have not. I have not heard the voice of Benedict Cumberbatch as.
How did you say that? Do you want to say that again?
Cumberbatch, whatever. I can never say it right. But I have made a point. I saw that trailer come up, the number 2 trailer, and I saw it was part of the headline.
You saw me, and you saw my post on Facebook, like, oh, no, why?
Yeah. Oh, no. I saw
trailers.
Yeah. There we go. No, yeah.
I'm wearing this now.
I saw the article headline saying, you know, hear Benedict Cumberbatch's voice in there. And I'm like, nope. I'm waiting for the movie. I want to hear
it. Some people are opposite, where they get the taste. And they want more.
Yeah. There was a study done that actually showed that your emotional response to something, whether you've seen or heard spoilers about it versus seeing it raw, is almost the same on average. Like or it's enhanced if you know the spoiler. Like Ben spoiled part of Game of Thrones season 3 for me.
Sorry.
Since we will now file this under explicit, I can say, you bastard, you ruined part of Game of Thrones season 3 for me.
I felt terrible. I honestly felt terrible for doing it. I mean, I wasn't even thinking of it. It was completely,
But
well, I think that's going to do it for us.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen next time.
Who knows?
But until then.
Yeah.
Ta-ta. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah, it was good having you on here.